Today, we're joined by Professor Robert McClemon, a professor at Wilfrid Laurier University in the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies. And we're going to be focusing on the unusual weather events that we've been seeing in the area over the past couple of months. Last weekend, we had a tornado that struck the Caledonia area, and we're continuing to experience these long heat waves throughout the summer months. And obviously, wildfires have been a concern in the eastern portion of Canada. So very much looking forward to gaining some insight on some of the science behind these occurrences and getting into the implications they could hold for our community. So thank you for joining me this afternoon, Robert.
It's my pleasure.
So I wanted to start by asking maybe if you could generalize a bit as to why we're beginning to experience these odd weather events like tornadoes in the area where they seem like they don't usually happen.
Yes. So, I mean, tornadoes are a phenomenon that do happen occasionally in Canada, southern Ontario. But we do seem to, as you mentioned in the lead, we do seem to be seeing these extreme storm events on a much more frequent basis here. And often the storms are more severe than what we've seen in the past. And it's part of a larger pattern that's taking place right across the Northern Hemisphere, right across Canada. And that's that as global temperatures warm, we just have more weather that is, you know, on the extreme side of things. You mentioned also in the lead in the fires, for example, this year has been far and away the worst fire season in Canada. And indeed, across the Northern Hemisphere around the world, there are fires in Europe, in Asia. There was the big fire in Maui last week in Hawaii. And it's all part of a larger pattern that scientists have been warning us about, which is that as we keep putting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, as temperatures keep rising, we create more opportunities for this sort of extreme weather.
And so the tornado last weekend was identified as a EF0. Can you explain the scale on how these tornadoes are graded and maybe the damage level this specific one would be able to cause?
Yeah, so there is a scale for tornadoes, as you mentioned. And again, we don't often get them here in southern Ontario, but we do occasionally get them. And the thing with these tornadoes, especially at this end of the scale, is that there's a lot of localized damage. So, and tornadoes have a very small footprint in many cases. So it may happen that, for example, houses on one side of a street where a tornado passes will be completely destroyed and others remain untouched. Another challenge with tornadoes in general is that it depends on where they occur. If they occur out in a rural area where there's not a lot of built infrastructure, the damage can be relatively low. They're still quite frightening. But what often happens, for example, when a tornado passes into an inhabited area, is that it will destroy one house or one person's property, and the debris from that house becomes a projectile that then gets dashed against neighboring houses. And so you get a sort of chain reaction where the damage from one house becomes a hazard for neighboring ones. Down in the United States, where these storms are much more frequent, listeners are probably familiar with the Tornado Alley in the United States. Building codes often require that houses have particular components to them that prevent, for example, the roof from being torn off by a tornado for this very reason.
And do you think that some of those building codes could be introduced to this area?
Well, I'm not sure specifically about the building codes in the Brant region and in the Six Nations region of Ontario, but these are things that are, you know, purchased at, you can buy them at the Home Depot, hurricane ties and so on. And what they are simply metal brackets that that take the roof structure, so the actual joists in the roof, and bolt them to the frame of the walls of the house. Because what often happens in we build houses as we rely on, quite frankly, on gravity and the weight of the roof to keep it attached to the walls. And so by strengthening the ties between the roof and the walls, we prevent the roof from being completely removed during an extreme storm, windstorm.
Can you talk about some of the specific weather conditions that can lead to the formation of a tornado, and maybe if there's any warning signs that people can identify beforehand?
Well, that's a great question, because tornadogenesis, as the science is known, is still very much an emerging science, because we know when they occur, right? They tend to be associated with extreme or severe thunderstorms in the middle of summer. But one of the challenges is we don't really know, for example, why one particular thunderstorm will have zero tornadoes and yet another one that may not even be as severe will have additional ones. There are certain sort of wind conditions and air current patterns that foster the creation of tornadoes, but it really is still a bit of a mystery as to why certain storms will generate them and others won't, or why a storm might have one tornado versus one that might generate multiple tornadoes. There is a project at the University of Western Ontario called the Northern Tornadoes Project, and that's specifically what they do. And now what their unit does is they actually will send researchers to the sites of tornadoes trying to gather data to try and better project and therefore allow for early warning of when tornadoes might actually occur.
And talking the unknown behind the creation of them, has technology been able to improve our understanding of their formation and maybe help in predicting these tornadoes in atypical areas?
Well, yes, I think that Environment Canada weather alerts have become much more sophisticated over recent years. And so we often get on our phones, you know, notifications that, you know, potentially there could be a tornado in this area, or then, you know, actual warnings when there are sightings of them. There's things that people can actually do if they're watching, you know, it's one of those stormy nights or stormy daytime, I guess, more to the point, is if they're watching the sky. And if they see clouds, for example, that are just moving in one direction, there may not be the formation of a tornado. But if they start to actually look up in the sky and see clouds starting to form circular patterns where you have clouds at a certain level moving in one direction and then others moving in another, it is possible to spot where a tornado may occur. I recall this happened to me about 7 years ago. I was in my backyard in Waterloo, and Environment Canada had sort of put out the weather warning that, you know, there could be tornadoes. And I looked out, I was watching from my back deck, and I could actually see these clouds starting to form into a circular pattern. So I grabbed my daughter and she grabbed her dog and my wife, and we hopped in the car and we drove away from the weather. And sure enough, a tornado did touch down, in that case, about 15 kilometers from where we lived. So it is possible, but at the same time, the best warning is obviously, you know, the alerts we get from Environment Canada.
And at the beginning, you talked about how the extreme heat is leading to these more extreme storms and weather events. Do you believe that these occurrences are something that we're going to be continuing to experience as the weather continues to change in our area?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just basic physics that there's more energy in the atmosphere now, more heat being trapped in the atmosphere by human activity. And so these extreme storms that give rise to tornadoes and other sorts of heavy, strong wind events, they're fueled by higher temperatures. And so it's just sort of a natural process where if there's going to be more heat, there's going to be more extreme weather. There's going to be more fire weather. So fire weather, for example, is extended periods of time where you have hot conditions, where you have dry conditions, where you have windy conditions all at once. That's one of those cases where heating the atmosphere just creates longer fire seasons. That was the problem this year. The fire season started back in May, and that's especially problematic because, you know, the forest has not had a chance to green up properly after the winter. So the fire seasons are starting earlier. There's more hot, dry periods during the summer and probably continuing into the fall. So it's just, in one sense, climate change doesn't really, for, you know, Southern Ontario, it doesn't create anything new. What it does is it creates statistically greater probability that we're going to see extreme events that were once infrequent but are now going to become more frequent.
And obviously, if they're going to be becoming a more regular occurrence, it's pretty safe to assume that there's a chance that the possibility of even more powerful tornadoes can be happening in the area as well.
It's possible. Again, all these things are related to heat and moisture in the atmosphere. Climate change creates that opportunity, that window for that. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable to assume that that's going to occur more often.
And in terms of combating tornadoes, do you think is there anything that the general public is able to do to maybe reduce the risk of them happening?
Not much. I mean, obviously, we all contribute to the root causes of climate change through the burning of fossil fuels. So anything that any of us can do as individuals to reduce our carbon footprint Obviously, that's an important contribution to that. In terms of our homes, we need to be better prepared, quite frankly. We need to be prepared for the fact that the lights may go out, that the power may go out more frequently. Environment Canada and Public Safety Canada warns that, you know, people should be prepared if there's a natural disaster, they should be able to survive on their own for 72 hours. That means making sure that we, you know, have supplies of fresh water tucked away in a part of the in a basement or somewhere in the house that's easy to get to. It means having, you know, a little supply of emergency food and making sure that if there is a storm coming, that, you know, we know what to do. So in the case of a tornado, obviously, is get away from windows, get to a safe and secure part of the house where flying debris can't get to us, and just be prepared. And of course, always, you know, make sure we follow the warnings that we get from Environment Canada. If you know, they warn that there's a tornado possibility in the area, then we need to take that seriously.
All right, Robert, I want to thank you again for doing this. It's a topic that's been increasing in recent years, and it was great getting some background information on how these tornadoes are forming and why it is they're happening here. So thank you very much for doing this.
Thanks for having me on the show.